Hi, everyone. This is Dave Hughes with the Corporate Marketing Group at Worldwide Technology, welcoming you to our latest episode in WWT's Tech 17 podcast series. Again, our Tech 17 series brings together subject matter experts from here at Worldwide Technology, and also, on occasion, our partners and customers as we discuss important topics on today's IT landscape. So today we're going to have a little different episode. We have talked in the past, hopefully if you have had a chance to subscribe and listen to previous episodes. We've talked about a lot of different topics, but we've been primarily focused in the commercial sector, in the commercial space, if you will. And here at Worldwide Technology, and of course across the industry, there is the commercial space, but also we do a lot of work with customers in the federal space. So we wanted to kind of talk to some of our experts in the federal space and give you a little bit of a flavor for, you know, maybe one specific challenge that customers in our federal space deal with and how we help them meet those challenges. So today we've got three of our experts on our federal team. And first off, we have Dustin Holst. Dustin has recently moved to the Washington, D.C. area. Dustin is a federal practice manager. Also, we have John Kelly. John is one of our business development managers based in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I think John is joining us from Tampa, Florida. And finally, last but not least, we have Dave Kinsman. Dave is one of our consulting system architects. Dave is joining us from his home base in Miami. So we're scattered in four different areas today, but all joining the podcast. So guys, Dustin, John, and Dave, thanks for joining us today.
You bet, Dave. Thanks for having us.
Good. Well, great to have you guys. So we wanted to give some a little bit of shout out on the federal side of our business too, and let our listeners hear a little bit about the federal space and a couple of the specific challenges that customers in that space have. So I think, Dustin, we were going to start with you, and I thought we could maybe start off by just giving a very quick overview for our listeners about what are some of the, couple main differences and challenges that differ in the federal space as opposed to customers in the commercial space.
Sure. Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks again for having me. And, as I meet daily with federal customers, I share with them that our vision at WWT is to become the world's best technology solutions provider. Now, to have aspirations of being the best in the world at anything is, as we all know, quite the daunting task. However, that philosophy and mindset that we have really coincides with WWT continuing to blaze, I'll call it, new trails with innovation around mobility, security, and elasticity supporting all the various missions within the federal government. Now, it's a bit of a challenge for both WWT and quite frankly our OEM partners to really take what the commercial private sector does and replicate some of those innovations that are being made in that realm into the government. I don't think it's any surprise to anyone that our federal government has security top of mind within anything that involves newer technologies, and they really weigh that against whatever benefits that can be had by adopting new technologies. So in a lot of cases, cybersecurity posture, ensuring data integrity as well as controlled access to that data, can sometimes override the cost benefit or in even some cases the perceived or realized benefits that the government can potentially achieve from efficiencies of automation and mobility of data workloads. As the migration from Windows 7 to Windows 10 is happening everywhere in the industry, and especially within the federal government, we see a unique opportunity in terms of both timing and advancements of technology related to the cybersecurity posture, data integrity, and controlled access to take a different approach towards endpoint devices like laptops and desktops that have really, for a long time, been the most vulnerable connected devices on any customer's network, both public and private sector. In 2009, I caught a lot of grief within WWT for making the bold statement that it was the year of VDI, and both Dave and John can attest to this, and perhaps were some of the ones that also believed that it might actually happen, or maybe they just felt bad for me and told me that. But here we are, nearly a decade later, and we still see VDI as a very powerful solution towards achieving really a higher level of cybersecurity posture, data integrity, and controlled access to that data. And I know both Dave and John have a lot of insight into these subject areas as well, so I'll kind of turn the mic over to them and look forward to hearing their thoughts on this as well.
Okay, Okay, well, great. Well, thanks, Dustin. That's a great kickoff for our call. So maybe just to kind of to swing this around to John and Dave. So Dustin kind of touched on it at the end, John, but I know the one specific challenge and topic we wanted to talk about today was in that area of desktop challenges in terms of, you know, working for multiple devices in the workspace, or, you know, again, otherwise known as desktop challenges in on the federal side. So I guess maybe to start off, could you talk to maybe some of the, you know, some of the key overriding issues and challenges that our customers are having in this area?
Thanks. So the biggest challenge that a lot of our federal folks are having is, you know, they're dealing with a reduction of personnel and the support staffs that they used to have to go out and manage these desktops just are not there, but yet the workload's continuing to increase. They're having more and more cyber and information assurance requirements levied on them. They're now having to look at migrating from Windows 7 to Windows 10, but they've got older systems that just won't support the new operating system or meet all the TPM and regulations required for that. Of course, they're under pressure to deal with saving money as it relates to software licensing and still being able to upgrade applications in a timely manner. Of course, you've got the ongoing security, the cyber threats, be it ransomware, zero-day viruses, those kinds of things, and just the overall effort that it takes to patch the systems, do the compliance reporting, and secure the hard drives that might be removable hard drives in classified systems. How do you secure that and account for that? How do you deal with data that's lost because a hard drive crashed, things like that? And then they also have the ComSec requirements, and many of these things continue to add up. And these are all unique to, you know, a lot of our federal customers, and it's compounded because they have that same problem on both their unclassified, their classified, their top secret, and maybe even their coalition desktop. So, you know, it's not unusual for some of our users to have 4, 5, 6 systems on a single desktop and with multiple monitors and keyboards. So that's where VDI really comes into play and really solves a lot of these problems for our customers. And when we marry that up with a multi-level security solution, the benefits are just, you know, not to just mention the cost benefits, but the fact that we can give the user back some desktop space where they can actually see their desk is pretty unique.
Hey, and John, too, and again, for some of our listeners' benefits, if we could just maybe back up just a little bit and maybe spend, you know, maybe a minute or so and just kind of give us an overview in terms of, you know, what actually VDI is.
You know, Dave, I can jump in on that.
Okay.
You know, figure that's kind of my area of expertise. You know, when I go back, my original technology I worked with was terminal services, right? It was funny. I did terminal services and then I started doing virtualization just because that was the hot thing to do. And sometime around, you know, circa 2009, you took the chocolate and the peanut butter and you slammed them together and it was VDI. So that's kind of my, you know, my bread and butter as far as things go. And when you talk about what is VDI, well, it's taking a remote access technology where you're bringing a user from a terminal, right, some sort of end user computing device back into your data center and allowing them to access a Windows or a Linux desktop operating system that's running as a virtual machine on top of a server in the data center, right? We use something called a hypervisor to allow us to run multiple desktop operating systems on a single piece of hardware. So that gives us a lot of benefits from a economy of scale in efficiently using our hardware, as well as being able to deliver desktops to users in different diverse locations without actually having to send them a full-blown desktop that's being managed by our IT group out there. So I think, you know, that's probably the easiest way to throw VDI in a nutshell together.
Okay. And I know one of the other things we talked about when we were talking about our topics for our call today, and I know it's been in the news a little bit. It's just the whole area of, you know, cybersecurity and security solutions, especially, you know, there's been a little bit in the news about some security issues in the government. So I know one of the things we talked about a little bit too, which, you know, is kind of a solution that can, I think, be used in some of the challenges that, you know, some of our customers have in the federal space is something called multi-level security solutions. So can you guys talk to that a little bit?
You know, I think that it's interesting when you look at the commercial space, right? Commercial customers segment their network traffic for security purposes, right? It's something very standard in the commercial space. And some of the security vulnerabilities that you see out there, some of them have come from the fact that the traffic wasn't segmented correctly and someone was able to access one part of the network, and that gave them the ability to then hop onto another part of the network that was maybe a little more sensitive. So, you know, in the government, obviously, it's not just about your credit card information being compromised or something like that in the commercial space. It's a lot. It's about very important information that we're trying to keep secure as a country. So the government takes the network separation to a next level in that they don't do you know, they don't use technology to separate that out virtually. They physically separate out networks, right? So John earlier talked on some of the different networks that are out there, and when he talked about those, each one of those represents a physical separate network that doesn't have any connection to the other one. So if someone was able to compromise one of those networks, they're not going to be able to get on any of the other networks, right? Now, obviously, one network compromise is a very bad thing, but one network compromise is still better than all of your networks being compromised. And so that's why Dustin touched on as end users having multiple PCs at their desk, right? When you need to access one network versus another network, well, your PC at your desk only plugs into that one network. So if you need to access a couple of different networks, you've got a couple of different PCs. That's just the way it goes. If you've never worked in the federal space, it may sound a little bit weird to you, but somebody might have three or four Windows PCs sitting at their desk, and they may have three or four monitors connected to that. Wow. They may even have three or four mice and keyboards sitting there, which can sound kind of daunting, and that's because it is, right?
Yeah.
Imagine trying to think and remember where you are and look back and forth between screens, and that's really where this multi-level security solution conversation comes into play, right? What if we could, instead of putting four or five desktops on that end user's workstation, what if we could build a VDI environment on each different separate network, right? So we have our own virtualization, you know, on our own what we call a connection broker, which is just the thing that helps you get to your virtual desktop. And rather than have to put those endpoints out at the end user's workstation, I just go ahead and create a network that goes back into some sort of central demarcation point that allows me to access my other networks. And because it's VDI, one of the key takeaways when you think about VDI is there's no data going from your desktop that's running as a virtual machine in the data center out to the endpoint that's sitting on your desk. The only thing that's going between that virtual machine and your desk are mouse clicks and screenshots. It's kind of remote access terminal services 101, right? So we don't have to worry about that sensitive information that's on those different network segments. We don't have to worry about them cross-pollinating because all we're sending out to that single endpoint on the user's desk are pictures and screenshots. So we can take a desktop that would have been cluttered up with all kinds of cabling for networks and lots of monitors and lots of PCs and all the power and cooling. You know, if you've ever sat in your office in the middle of winter and thought, gosh, I'm kind of cold. I wish I had more, wish I had a little space heater here. Well, go work for the federal government. You can have five PCs blowing on your feet all day. That'll keep you nice and warm. And so we're able to take all that, shrink it down to just a single endpoint on their desk, and really help the customer be able to work more efficiently without compromising some of the cybersecurity principles that we don't want to take for granted. So I think that's kind of a high level, quick explanation of what a multi level security solution would be.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, that's a great explanation. And actually, obviously, the security component is the major issue. But boy, it sounds even just from a practical standpoint, trying to kind of clear a little clutter, it's probably a nice benefit for customers too. So
Think about this real quick, right? What if you need to, you know, you're part of the federal government. What if you need to go overseas and set up a place for your people to work overseas? Maybe it's the military. So maybe they need to be in a, you know, go somewhere and set up so that they can support our military operations where they happen to be. You know, right now you're bringing 3 or 4 PCs per person with you into wherever it happens to be that you're going. It's a lot of lifting. It's a lot of jet fuel. It's a lot of airplanes, sure, whatever it happens to be, to move all that over there. And then I've got to have somebody run wiring all around to connect me to all those different networks, which, you know, maybe if we're in a military situation where we're overseas, that's maybe not the safest environment to have people running around running cables for you, right? So the MLS solution, giving you the ability to just take one endpoint with you and maybe run just one cable, you know, that can be a reduction in not just labor, not just how many airplanes it takes to move all your gear around, but how quickly you're able to get up and working once you arrive at whatever that remote destination site is. And depending on where your VDI environment might sit, it might not be going with you. It may be back here in the United States. So if for some reason you needed to leave the area quickly and, you know, head back to somewhere safer, you're able to do that without having to worry about leaving any kind of information behind that may, you know, may compromise or hurt the United States. So there's definitely a lot of value to thinking about not only VDI, but pairing it with some sort of multi-level security solution to help you out with some of those challenges you might face if you're in the U.S. military.
Right. Well, that certainly makes a lot of sense. And I know it kind of makes me think that I shouldn't complain so much when I have to lug my one single laptop through airport security, I guess. So it's not quite as bad as, you know, perhaps what it could be for, you know, some of the federal folks who have, you know, so much more equipment, just, you know, that they might have to lug through that, you know, kind of like you said, when they have to, you know, take overseas, for example. So, well, actually that kind of sums up our episode today. We're out of time, but I think it was a great conversation, and, you know, want to thank Dustin and John and Dave for joining us today. So in their first appearance on the podcast. So guys, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Dave.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. Have a beer.
Great. Thanks. Okay. So, you know, for our listeners again, thanks for joining us today on this episode of the Tech17 podcast here at Worldwide Technology. As always, please listen and to our other Tech17 episodes. Please subscribe to our Tech17 channel. It's free. You can get it on iTunes and all other podcast platforms. We love to get feedback from our listeners, so please go on Twitter and use hashtag Tech17 to give us any questions or feedback you may have. As always, it's great to hear from our listeners and get your feedback as well. And don't forget, we have another podcast channel, Tech37, which are longer form podcasts. We again just posted a new one, our first one in a while, but we just posted a new one on Windows 10 migration about a week or so ago. So please take in and subscribe to our Tech37 channel as well. So again, keep checking in for upcoming episodes. Our episodes drop on the first and third Monday of each month, and we look forward to listening and hopefully hearing from you as well. So thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time.